Americans.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we welcome back George Knapp. And those of you who have been longtime listeners of the show know that he is, number one, a member of the I-Team for KLAS-TV Channel 8 in Las Vegas. He's one of the few or rare investigative journalists around these days. And before we go on with that, George, what has happened to investigative journalism? It seems that these departments are being cut out, or particularly in newspapers, they don't even run them anymore. What's gone on with it?
Well, it's expensive to conduct investigative journalism, and a lot of stations, if they had an I-Team type setup, have eliminated them. We've made ours bigger. We've expanded it. It's one of the biggest in the country. I mean, it's three reporters, three full-time photojournalists, and a producer, and we crank out stories every day. I think a lot of it has to do with the audience. You know, it's easy to blame journalism, point a finger at TV stations for cutting back, but a lot of it has to do with where the audience has gone. And a lot of folks get their news online. They want the convenience of grabbing a bit or a piece of a story here or there, and they don't want to sit down and watch a newscast. I think it's bad in a lot of ways. We don't have a communal campfire anymore. People have found their own niches. They find a comfortable place that reinforces their preconceived political views, and that's the news they watch. Liberals watch MSNBC, and conservatives watch Fox, and it just drives a wedge further and further, I think, through the community, the country. In addition, I mean, people, why they watch entertainment, they watch junk, they send out tweets, they do emails, they're on Facebook, they're not watching news. It's sad, and the day will come when I think people, there are great advantages to, for example, the explosion of online news and bloggers and things of that sort, but that is no substitute for professional journalists who are trained to dig into stuff, who have the authority and the clout to force people to answer tough questions, as opposed to people that just write opinions online and post it and get paid by the word. So it's a sad thing in a lot of ways in the big picture, but there are pockets of hopeful developments. KLAS, where I work, is one of them. I mean, I work at the best station, the best news organization in Nevada. Las Vegas, I think, is the best news town in America. Maybe Washington is neck and neck, but there's never a slow day here. And I have the best job in the best news organization and the best news town in America, so I'm a happy camper.
And you've been there for a number of years, which is so rare in the broadcast business, where people go from station to station as they do. I think the thing that bothers me so much, George, is the fact that the cable TV news shows are so much involved in fake conflicts, so much involved in entertainment more than delivering the news.
I'm right there with you on that. I mean, getting two people to yell at each other is not news. That's not hard to do either. Everybody is so, they wear their a chip on their shoulder about everything. Everybody, you know what it's like online and on the air. People are ready to fight at the drop of a hat over some perceived slight. And
they mention my name very often, George, in connection with that. If you look up my name, you'll see there's always a pocket of people, and I've been online for 30 years. There's always a pocket of people out there who have nothing better to do than to make up stories. Not that I don't do things wrong, I don't screw up, or I'm not wrong quite often, but they'll make up stuff just to start flame wars, and it never ends.
I know exactly what you mean. I've been on the receiving end of some of that stuff myself, but the fact is, I like what I do. That's why I've stayed there so long. They give me freedom to go after whomever needs the attention, bad guys, corporations, even corporate sponsors. It's wherever the story leads, I have the freedom to follow it. And we just won our second Peabody Award. It's pretty unusual for a local station to get a Peabody, and I got two of them. I was in New York earlier this year. I won a DuPont for a program we did about the foreclosure mess. Las Vegas is hard hit, so I like what I do. I hope I stay with it forever and they have to kick me out because it's a great job and a great profession. And I think we need more investigative journalism, not less. I'm right there with you on that.
Well, let's hope they don't kick you out.
Okay. I hope not.
All right. The thing I'm going to ask, and I'm going to relate this to my own experience working in broadcast news for radio stations, and that is, back in the 70s, when we had UFO flaps and everything, and I was a young whippersnapper news director of a suburban Philadelphia radio station, I got to do what I wanted, and maybe they didn't understand what this UFO and paranormal stuff was all about, and they let me get away with it. You know, we had flaps there in southeast Pennsylvania, and I'd report the stories, and I'd go to the conventions on the weekend and everything, and I was having fun. I was even putting out a UFO-oriented magazine. Never crossed their mind that I was doing anything unusual. Of course, you're a very public personality. In addition to being with the I-Team, you've been a weekend host over at Coast to Coast AM, so you're in the thick of it. What does your management think? Do they just kind of smile at you or what?
Well, they're pretty supportive. They've been amazingly supportive. The thing is, I was, you know, already established. I had 10 years under my belt at KLES-TV chasing mobsters and exposing political corruption before I ever jumped into the UFO field. So I was the same guy. I mean, you know, by the time 1989 rolled around when we did the first Lazar stuff, I was established. So, you know, they knew me as a fairly regular and dependable reporter. I guess in a lot of people's eyes, I went nuts when I started jumping into this crazy field. But because I had done other things that people found to be credible, they gave me the freedom, and the station trusted me. They knew I wasn't going to go too far and screw up, that I had a certain level of discernment, and I wasn't going to put total crazies on, that I'd do some homework. So they'd give me the freedom. As long as there's a good, legitimate Las Vegas or Nevada angle to a story, I have the freedom to chase UFOs or cattle mutilations or things like the Skinwalker Ranch, whatever, as long as I can make it fit as a legitimate news story.
Now, Skinwalker Ranch, how far is that from Las Vegas?
Oh, it's a long ways. It's a good 10-hour drive.
Sure.
But the fact is, a lot of the principal characters are from Las Vegas. Bob Bigelow, who owns the ranch, is here. His team of investigators, NIDS, Colin Kelleher, they're all here. So that's sort of the link that I made. The ranch itself is a long way away, but the principal investigators are all here. So I didn't know you were a news director back east. That's something I knew. I learned just tonight.
Okay. I try to have all these surprises. I try to bring out surprises. I was also the first full-time employee for Jim Moseley's Saucer News. I was the managing editor. So.
Oh, man, that was so much fun. That publication was so much fun for so long.
And Jim was such a close friend. A lot of fun. So much fun to talk to when we just really miss him to death. Listen, wanted to get into Bob Bigelow for a moment because he was on Coast to Coast AM with you a couple of weeks back. And I'm going to ask some crazy questions, and we'll get on in the next segment to continue that. And I know a lot of our listeners have questions about Mr. Bigelow. But the first one, of course, is when you worked out the interview with him, did he want to know in advance the areas you were going to cover?
No, we had a general understanding, you know, because I've always given him as sort of a green light to come on when he wanted. I think he wanted to come on and talk about the space stuff because he's getting ready to announce with NASA a pretty big deal in which his company, Bigelow Aerospace, will sort of be the clearinghouse for the next space race. I mean, he signed a deal with NASA that he will basically be their man on the ground. He'll identify different companies that are going to be part of the next wave. NASA has finally agreed to sort of get out of the way and let private commercial companies take the lead. They'll partner with them. They'll support them. They'll give technical expertise, but they'll try to stay out of the way. And Bob is right in the thick of it. So that's what he wanted to talk about. But I told him, look, we got to talk about other stuff, you know, the ranch for one thing, and then confirmation. He and I have had private conversations about the whole disclosure issue, these hearings that are coming up at the end of the month in Washington, and the efforts to sort of squeeze the government and get them to admit what we all suspect we know about UFOs. And Bob has expressed an opinion that I've heard now from a number of people whom I respect, people with intelligence or military backgrounds who they talk to me on deep background. I know, Gene, that you have people like that who tell you things. And
got to tell our listeners things right now. We'll have more to go with George Knapp. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, neighbors, meetings are essential to the way we work. It's an opportunity to share ideas, problem solve, and even develop creative solutions. But you know, if your team is spread out in all sorts of different locations, you know, coming together can be an impossible task. That is, of course, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You know, it's the powerful, simple way to meet and collaborate online. And of course, when I try to get together with Chris and our guests for the show, you can see that we have to meet online because we can't get together. We're too far away. That's why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com. GoToMeeting. You see, meeting is believing.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You've heard about our MRE smorgasbord. Now, Long Life Food Depot introduces the most unique, safe, and longest-lasting way to stash emergency food, the Eat Pod. Most survival food products recommend an ideal storage environment, including low temps, low moisture, and low oxygen. If you're storing in a basement, too humid. Garages and attics, too hot. But the waterproof, double-walled, high-density polyethylene patent-pending Eat Pod is a unique roll-away food bunker that creates the perfect condition. Can be buried up to 30 feet and can keep your survival food supply safe, secure, dry, and virtually undetectable for 25 years or more. Get full details on the Eat Pod at eatpod.com, spelled EATPOD.com, or call 800-601-2833. That's 800-601-2833. The Eat Pod from Long Life Food Depot. Since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. We have George Knapp. He's from KLAS TV Channel 8 in Las Vegas, an investigative reporter, part of their I-team, and also very much involved in UFO and paranormal research. And we're talking about his association in terms of interviewing and knowing Bob Bigelow, a very wealthy man who may as they say, overhaul the space program. Now, over the years, George, one of the big criticisms I've had of Congress and the presidents is they haven't really given much attention to the space program. They've let it languish. They've let it die. So what is going to happen here with Bigelow? Is he going to finance the flights or what?
He will be doing the same thing his company has been working on for a while. I mean, his central focus is building these inflatable space habitats. One of his habitats in January, they announced it'll be added to the ISS, the International Space Station. And then Bigelow quietly announced in January something even bigger. He's putting $250 million of his own money to build his own private space station, a rival, if you will, to the ISS. And he is hoping, he is rolling the dice and hoping that SpaceX or somebody else will be ready to go to help get it up there into space. NASA is now supporting that. And it said, Bigelow, we want to use your space modules, not only in near-Earth orbit as an International Space Station contemporary, but also as something on the lunar surface. I mean, this contract that he signed that we talked about on Coast to Coast specifically mentions building a base on the moon and then going further to Mars. And then it says exploring the outer reaches of the solar system. So it's very exciting stuff if NASA follows through and gets out of the way. And Bigelow's right in the middle of it. I really hope that they stick to it, the conditions of this deal. As I was mentioning to you before the break, when Bob was going to come on the show, I basically laid out, I didn't tell him what the questions were going to be, but I said, for an hour, we'll spend time on the space stuff, because I know he wanted to talk about that. And then in the second hour, we'll get into weird stuff and talk about disclosure versus confirmation, because Bob is of the opinion, if you heard the interview, that there is a program underway. You know, you and I, Gene, have been around this a long time. We've talked about, we've heard this rumor every year. This is the year the big story is going to come out, confirmation, or the government's going to say something that never happened. He says something that I've heard from other people whose opinions I trust, who are in positions to know these things, that there is a program underway, that it is happening. If we hold our breath for a formal disclosure, it's never going to happen. I don't believe it. I don't know if you believe it. But I don't see any day when the president's going to step up to a podium and announce that, yeah, UFOs are real. We've got crashed saucers and alien bodies, and we've known about it for a long time, and we've been lying. That is not going to happen, and for a variety of reasons. So
let's move into that here. A variety of reasons. Now, let me just put my point of view across, and then I can ask you the reasons you think there won't be immediate disclosure. And I think just look at history. Look at history. I've known all the so-called greats in the UFO field over the years, even Major Donald Kehoe. And in the 1950s, when he released his first books, Major Kehoe said there'd be disclosure. He expected it to happen then. He complained about the so-called silence group, the program to keep things a secret, and he suggested it's going to come out. It never came out during his lifetime. We've had over the years people saying it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen next year, and now we have Stephen Greer saying something's going to happen this year. It never seems to happen. And I've expressed in newsletters over at the Paracast forums and the ones we send out to our listeners why I think disclosure is not going to happen, and if it happens, it's going to be forced upon the authorities. What are your reasons?
Well, I agree with you pretty much down the line. If it were forced, say, by a couple of things, one is the visitors, whoever they are, wherever they're from, they can make themselves known. As Whitley Strieber has said before, they're the true architects of the secrecy. They appear to people when they want and don't appear to others, and if they wanted to be known, they would. So it starts with them. Secondly, I think the government has painted itself into a corner. It's lied to us so much for so long. As one congressional investigator told me who came out here to Area 51 back in the 90s to look around and chase down some of these stories, he said, look, if this stuff is true, these guys are going to go to jail. They've been lying to the public, to the media, to Congress. They've been taking national security funds from legitimate national security programs to keep this cover-up going, and they're going to go to jail. So that by itself would be a reason. But I think there are some other more pertinent realities, the political realities. There's no president going to stand up and announce this stuff. He'd be done. He could kiss whatever other agenda he had goodbye, because this would totally dominate it, assuming he had any credibility left whatsoever. There's also the national security aspect, and this is what Bigelow talked about. There are national security implications if, in fact, there is some kind of visitation that's been ongoing, that there's been communication, and there are technological secrets to be revealed, which I think there are. I think there are. I don't know if Roswell is real. I mean, that's been so muddied, or how many of these alleged crashes have occurred, but I think there's hardware. I think there's a small group of people who've studied it and learned a great deal, and they want to keep it to us and not give an advantage by making some announcement that might get the Chinese and the Russians working on it. I think that is the reality. Now, you also face the very, very real problems of who is it that knows this stuff? Disclose what? Because, I mean, just saying that aliens are here, enough? Would that be enough for you? Because it wouldn't be enough for me. Once you open that box, it's hard to cut off the questions. I suspect that the people who know what's really going on, or know more than anybody else, it's a very small group, might not even be within government anymore, might have been diffused out there in the private sector just to keep away from prying eyes. And I also suspect that there's no one who really understands the big picture. I'm not sure we're meant to understand it. I'm not sure these are something as simple as aliens visiting from another planet. It's alien, all right, but I'm not sure that means extraterrestrial. It may be that no one really knows what the hell is going on.
Well, of course, we have talked a lot about other possible theories about UFOs, especially on the Paracast. We've emphasized a number of different possibilities. I remember, of course, this book about ultra-terrestrials, of course, is the John Keel version. And then we have the crypto-terrestrials from the late Mac Tonies, who came on the show occasionally. He was talking about another race that coexisted with us on the Earth, or maybe they're in another dimension, and we get into some pretty strange things. But the one thing, George, I want to bring out is we're assuming when we talk about disclosure, it's got to be the United States of America. But it doesn't have to be, does it?
You're right. Exactly right. Bigelow had talked about that, too, is that another thing that could force our hand, if not the visitors themselves, would be China, Russia, Brazil. These countries don't necessarily toe the line. I mean, the countries that do toe the line are the ones who are our strongest allies, Britain and Australia and Canada. Those are the countries that don't really, they've opened up some files, but don't really spill any secrets and don't talk about this stuff. But there's nothing holding China back anymore, or Russia. So if they were to make an announcement, it might actually take us off the hook, let our government off the hook by putting all the pressure on some foreign government and letting them answer the questions instead of ours.
Of course, we have that wacky guy over in North Korea. What if they knew something? Yeah. What if a UFO landed there and they captured it? What would happen?
I thought the same thing. What about Cuba? Why doesn't Cuba do it? Just to mess with us.
Got George Knapp. We're talking about his many decades-long experience investigating UFO and paranormal events. We've got loads of questions from our listeners. So much more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's ROCKOIDS.com.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes, revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Why should you be in Arizona this month?
One reason. Prepper Fest AZ. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th through 28th. Get free training and hands-on experience from leading preparedness experts.
Everything you need to be prepared.
Plus, longevity information. And guest speaker Dr. Joel Wallach speaks on Sunday. Don't miss Prepper Fest AZ, April 26th through 28th.
In Scottsdale, Arizona.
For schedule and flyer worth $2 off, go to PrepperFestAZ.com. That's PrepperFestAZ.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have George Knapp, and we're exploring UFOs, possible disclosure, and I want to ask him a few things in a moment. But we have to cover this. There are occasional conspiracy theories out there about Bob Bigelow, and I guess, of course, part of it is with his association with the Mutual UFO Network. It seemed that information was going in, nothing going out, that sort of thing. What's your take on that?
Well, I've read that stuff and I've heard it, and I don't know. I guess I've known the guy for a long time, so I am biased in this sense. He has spent more money out of his pocket on UFO research than any person in the history of the world. Millions and millions of dollars. He's given it to individual researchers to go off on their own. He's given it to UFO organizations. And every single time he's given it to UFO organizations or the professional ufologists, they have screwed it up. I understand that Bob is sort of a harsh taskmaster. He expects results from when he puts up some money. He wants to see something happen with it, not just give it away. He gave MUFON the chance to have boots on the ground investigators go out and find and investigate these cases. And I know I've heard these stories about the cases go into MUFON and then they disappear. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true, but I understand why Bob would want to have access to the files that he paid for. As for government connections, I also understand those. I mean, I've seen so many crazy descriptions of Bob. He's made his fortune from the tea business, or he's a casino owner, or he's a shadowy figure. He's not shadowy. He's been media shy over the years because he was worried about he's a very wealthy guy, and he'd like to be able to go get a hamburger without people hitting him up for money or kidnapping his grandkids. So he never did interviews until I sort of pushed him into that, and now he's much more open. But he's not shadowy. He's given millions of dollars to universities and charities here, and I'll tell you further, is that he does have government connections at very high levels. He's made no secret about it. I mean, the NIDS board, when the NIDS organization was created, was made up of a lot of former intelligence people and military people and astronauts, folks who had been on the inside who had an interest in this topic. I think that makes sense to have those kind of people there. If you are a UFO conspiratorial bent, you say, oh, my gosh, that's the evil government. Well, why wouldn't you want people like that who know a little bit about how government works to be there pursuing legitimate questions, the same kind of questions that all of us have? Bigelow, the last time he was on the radio show with me, made an announcement. Is when he created BAS, the Bigelow Advanced Aerospace, whatever the acronym stands for. He said, we have a partner. He said, we have a partner, and he wouldn't specify who the partner is, but it was a sponsor. Now, we can guess all day about who it is. He hasn't told me, but I'm guessing that it has some kind of government connection. And I guess you could look at that in a dark way. Oh, my God, he's partnering with the government. You can also look at it in a positive way, which is how I've seen it, is the government or the people who are there now in certain agencies don't know the answers to this stuff, and they want to know. They're willing to put up some dough to let people who are fairly professional and who have an interest in pursuing these mysteries do the work for them, work that they can't do themselves, certainly not out in the open. I think that's a positive thing. I fully understand how people can see that as dark and conspiratorial and Bigelow wants to take over MUFON. But I'll tell you, I just think that is a bunch of BS. It's an exaggeration. It's over-the-top conspiratorial. And that in general, what he's done for ufology and for research in the area far outweighs the negative that some people have perceived.
So therefore, you don't think that, and we're being theoretical here, that some people in the government, somebody connected to NSA or something, goes to Mr. Bigelow and says, look, we need your help to investigate this. We're going to let you in on a few things, but you can't reveal what they are. And it's guilty knowledge of the reality of UFOs. Do you think he'd do it?
If I were to make a guess, I would say yes. And what about you, Gene? What would you do in that situation? I asked myself that question. If there was a knock on the door and somebody said, look, we want you to stop doing these stories. We're going to let you know what goes on, but you got to stop doing stories. You can still work on it, but it can't go public. Now, would I do it? I don't know. I'd be awfully tempted. I would certainly think about it.
I guess if they wave big fat dollar bills, almost anybody, you'd have to think. And you have to think about it.
Big fat dollar bills wouldn't work for Bigelow. He's got.
Sure, I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking about Bob Bigelow. I'm talking about Gene Steinberg or George Knapp. Because
I would bet that you would be motivated by the same thing as me, and that you're more interested in knowing what goes on than making a bunch of money about it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be motivated by finding out something that you didn't know before?
Well, I'll tell you something. If I was motivated by making a lot of money, I'd be in a different line of business, as my wife continues to remind me. So I don't want to go there, but we understand the point. Now, let's go back to the disclosure thing, because you were implying some things before from your sources, and maybe you can give us some more detail about what you expect to happen. I'm looking for, if any disclosure at all, a gradual, very slow disclosure that may play out over years. What do you think?
That's exactly what I've been told. And, you know, we've heard that. You and I have heard that over the years, that something like that is underway. Ever since that that study in the early 1960s about, gosh, if you do this all of a sudden, it could cause disintegration of societal institutions. It's got to be gradual. And, you know, we've seen what looks like a gradual program, and I just thought it was kind of coincidental, movies and TV and books and getting us ready. But it's more than that now. And I think there are some hints that have been dropped in the last year that make me think that it really is going on, in addition to what I've been told behind the scenes. This ex-CIA guy who says all of a sudden out of the blue, yeah, I found this box marked Roswell, CIA headquarters. It convinced me that it's real, and I can't say any more about it. Or, you know, the people who have come out with sort of fictionalized versions of the UFO story, people with intelligence backgrounds, that's the way they do that stuff. That's one way to tell the story without violating any kind of national security restrictions. So I think there is something underway, and I think the pace has been stepped up in the last couple of months. I don't expect any grand announcement anytime soon, but it seems like the pace has been picked up, and if you're paying attention, you could see it yourself.
Well, let's look at the examples here. Can you give us a few ideas of where we might see disclosure? I don't think it's just finding water on Mars.
No, I don't think it's water on Mars, but, you know, they're edging closer and closer to saying life is there. It absolutely astounds me that we send a rover up there to find evidence for the possibility that life could exist on Mars, but not actual evidence that life is there. They don't have the tests on the latest rover to actually confirm that life is there, which is ridiculous. Why do you send a probe that far, spend the money on it, and not answer the central question that's on everyone's mind? I think it shows that it is sort of that shows me that they're doing it in bits and pieces, in steps at a time.
It sounds like peculiar. You know, you look at all the evidence you could uncover, and you wonder how much they can do. And it's possible, I guess, for the lunar rovers to be doing a lot more than we are told.
Remember the Viking. The Viking back in the 70s did a test that the initial result was we found life. And NASA was, oh, no, wait a second, hold on, let's back way up. And we've got to back off that. That's not what we found. But they had a test back then that confirmed life. And since then, all these probes that have gone up there don't have the same kind of capabilities to answer that question. You got a rover there now that can drill into the ground, that can analyze soil, but it doesn't have the capability to detect actual life, just the conditions for life. That makes no sense to me. That says that they're stretching it out. It says to me in big bold letters or bloody handwriting on the wall that they're dragging this stuff out.
Well, as we say, how do we know that they don't have the equipment? I mean, look how much capabilities we can put into an iPhone. And then think about putting a few of those on board a rover and think of what it could do and what its capabilities would be, what kind of analysis can be conducted. It gets very fascinating.
We don't get to see you're just saying we don't get to see the results.
Well, it's always a possibility. I have to wonder about that. George Knapp joining us. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Natural disasters, down economy, and inflating gas prices. Wondering how to prepare for what's next? Come to the Self-Reliance Expo at the Arlington Convention Center to learn about food and water storage, emergency power, shelters and financial management, hands-on training, we've got beekeeping, suturing, and learn how to build your own solar panels and so much more. Activities for the whole family. Self-Reliance Expo, Arlington Convention Center, Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th. Tickets and schedule at selfrelianceexpo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. EasyArmor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little EasyArmor costs, and I installed EasyArmor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
Howdy folks, pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's GCNminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have George Knapp. He's an investigative journalism kind of guy, and which means he may be one of a dying breed. I hope not. I hope he's not an anachronism, that he's going to be around for a long time, and there will be young George Knapps running around. Do you have any family people who are involved in broadcasting?
No, I do not. I don't have any children. I just got married a couple of years ago, but I have proteges that I've tried to pass some things along to, and still some lessons I've learned over the years. So at least KLAS-TV, I think, is in good hands for a long time to come, even after I'm gone, which I don't hope is anytime soon.
Well, with people living to 114 these days, I guess you have a few years left.
I'm ready for the singularity.
Okay, well, that's very good. A singularity. You know, I have kind of a quick question. I want to do a segue here, and then we'll get back to other subjects about UFOs. This is about your regular work at KLAS Channel 8, member of the I-team and everything. Chris, would you please get that question from the forums?
George, here's a question from Solarian, who has been a poster on the forums for about a year and a half now. And a simple question. He says, how well is Nevada coping with the invasion of Mexican drug lords?
Well, it's basically they've overrun the state and dominated the meth trade. 5 years ago, I would go out on these raids with a narcotics team of meth labs all over, bathtub meth labs and meth labs in cars and homes that would burn down and fumes from terrible chemicals. They're gone now. Those homemade meth labs are all but gone. There might be one or two a year here because the cheap meth has flooded the market. Nevada, Las Vegas in particular, sort of a distribution point for these Mexican drug lords. They make so much money. A lot of it ends up, I think, probably being laundered at casinos. There was a guy who was busted. He was a Chinese national who went to Mexico, imported all these hard-to-get chemicals from China, allegedly became sort of a meth kingpin with this gigantic lab. They popped his house in Mexico City, and you might have seen the photos online, a room full of money. I mean, stacked up 6 feet high, $100 bills on these pallets that filled the whole room. He was a regular here in Las Vegas, treated like royalty. A lot of restrictions have been placed on the casino industry. You're supposed to keep tabs on these guys and keep some kind of a general idea where the money comes from. But really, when you got that kind of money, you can pretty much write your own ticket. So the answer to the question is the meth folks, the Mexican drug lords are here. Their carnage is on our streets daily. It's not as bad as like some areas of the border where beheadings are a regular thing or torture, but it pops up here now and then.
Well, you have to think the war on drugs has been a monumental failure.
That's a waste. It's such a waste of money and resources and time and people's lives. It seems like the little guys are the ones that do the time. The big guys enjoy the benefits of the illegal trade, and it's totally upside down, in my opinion.
And we have to look about for-profit prisons like we have in Arizona. What a waste. Anyway, let's get on to other subjects. We have lots of questions from our listeners. This could almost fill the full show, I think, but we'll see where it happens.
This question comes from Nameless, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for over 2 years. And George, he wants to know if there's any new info on the Skinwalker case. What hypotheses have you derived from this event, and how has it altered, if at all, your paradigm or how you look at the paranormal? And are there any other cases that you've heard about that have had so much proliferation of paranormal activity?
Wow. Well, it's totally changed my view. I mean, I entered the field like a lot of people do with the basic nuts and bolts UFOs. They're craft from other worlds. They're piloted by extraterrestrials visiting us from other planets and you know, looking for evidence or information that would either verify or reflect on that theory, interviewing witnesses, looking at documents, that kind of thing. But it's not that simple anymore. And I think that is the major thing that the experience of the ranch taught me, that it's not as simple as somebody coming here from another planet. Jacques Vallée once told me that he said, if it turns out that the answer to the UFO mystery is people just visiting from another planet, I'm going to be really disappointed, because the ultimate truth is much bigger. And it points to a much more complicated and wondrous cosmos, and it asks some really important questions about the nature of reality itself. I don't know of any place in the world that's had as much concentrated paranormal weird activity as the Uinta Basin, and in particular the ranch. It is certainly the most intensely studied paranormal hotspot, I think, in history. There have been studies underway in Hestellen and places like that around the world, but not 24/7 cameras, scientists on duty all the time. Not like what NITS did at that ranch and in the larger basin. I don't think there's any kind of paranormal activity you can think of that has not occurred in that general area. And it's not just the ranch; it's a much larger area, but the ranch is certainly one of the hotspots. And the family that was on the ranch for a long time came up with dozens of really strange things that happened. They weren't looking for them to happen. They weren't looking for attention. They thought for a long time it was the government trying to drive them off their property. Then the NIDS guy came in. It's almost like the movie Poltergeist, where the scientists come to the rescue to help figure things out, and then they get terrorized as well. Those guys, all of them PhD-level scientists, they looked for prosaic explanations. They tried to find, are there magic mushrooms on the ground that are making people have hallucinations? Are there gravity anomalies? Is there some sort of physical explanation for what people have been seeing there for 50 years, and they couldn't come up with one? I don't know what the answer is. I just know what it isn't. And trying to say that it's UFOs alone, although there were UFO-type crafts seen there, it doesn't fit the explanation. At least it doesn't fit the explanation of what we think we understand about ETs, because these craft would appear and disappear, would fly into mountains, they look sort of like UFOs and then they didn't. They behaved sort of like UFOs and then they didn't. There was no event in the more than 130 or so events that were investigated. No event ever happened the same way again, which makes it really tough to get reproducible results or evidence. A lot of folks have questioned whether there's any evidence at all, and we can get into that issue a little bit later. But overall, you know, you have to applaud the NIDS folks who went in there, spent so much time and energy to try to figure this out, and were not married to any kind of thesis. And I'm not married to it. We worked on the book, Colin Kelleher and I, and looked at all these cases, talked to all these people, and we have no idea what the heck is going on there. To this day, have no idea. It seems to be dimensional. It seems to be like the ranch and the Uinta Basin is a place where, it's like the Irish have a saying, a place where the world is thin, where some other reality bleeds into ours. It's disconcerting in a lot of ways. Which sort of brings us back to disclosure. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but you say, talk about the willingness to let's have the government come clean. I don't think the government knows the ultimate story. I don't know that anybody knows the ultimate story. And if you were to disclose what some people do know, the idea that there is something like what Mac Taney's talked about, ultra-terrestrials, that we live in the middle of some other civilization, which is sort of what I come away from the Skinwalker Ranch with, is that there's somebody else that's in charge. We are living among them as opposed to them living among us. They come and go into our world at will. Other creatures come and go at will. We're stuck here. And so if we were to explain to the public, hey, there's another reality, they can see what we do. You're in the shower when you're sleeping. They can see you. They can read your thoughts. They know what you're up to. You can't see them. I think people would freak out.
I'll tell you what. I think if they saw me in the shower, they'd freak out in a different way. They'd run out the door screaming and yelling in abject fear. I'll tell you that right now. I have to say that. But as our listeners really know, I've been advocating for alternate theories about UFOs for many, many years. I go back in the 1960s where, for example, I believed that UFOs were spaceships. And then after we had that fateful conversation with Alan Greenfield one New Year's evening, I came away with a different point of view because we started talking, we started looking at the evidence, and we came to the realization that things in the UFO field weren't quite what we thought they were. Let me ask you quickly, because we have to do the break. Do you think the reason we see more things happening in and around Skinwalker Ranch is because so much effort is being expended towards investigating it there? That's kind of a cliffhanger question, and I'd like you to answer it during our next segment, whether it's the attention that's causing either more events on a reflective basis or simply because we're paying it more attention, we see more cases there. If we pay that amount of attention elsewhere, maybe we'd see the same phenomenon. We have George Knapp joining us. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.